The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Good morning, everybody. Hannah Storm in for Greeny. We got a full house. We got Bart and Han, and we got Pat Bev in the house as well. Our football voices are here, too. So we're going to start with Steph and the Warriors' big game tonight. A sore Steph vowing to play, but what will happen if he's not 100% tonight? How much trouble are the Warriors actually in? And was Tom Brady going fishing? Did he really speak to the Dolphins? Could Brady end up making even one more step before hitting that broadcast booth? And did you see what Devontae Adams admitted about the Packers? Did Aaron Rodgers' hesitation cost him the best chance of winning the Super Bowl? Let's begin with the game of the night. All right, fellas, Lightning taking on the Rangers. MSG tied at 2, and Ryan Lindgren's going to get the puck, throw it on net, and go in for the goal, Han.
Watch him. He rims it around. He's expected to see his forward Palat there for it, but Ryan Lindgren pinches as a defenseman, throws it at the net, and good things happen. Beats Vasilevsky on the short side.
Man, the garden is going wild. The Rangers take a 1-0 lead, but later in the second, Mikhail Sergachev shoots from the point, gets a pass, everybody for the goal, right through the defense.
Again, in games like this, it's always throw it at the net, see what can happen. There's traffic there. Sergachev hadn't scored in the playoffs yet for the Lightning, but he was big in this game.
All right, 2 minutes left in the third. Sergachev gets it to the point, throws it on net, redirected in front by Andre Palat again.
Looks like it hit right there on the kneecap.
Ooh.
Of course, Shesterkin looking up like, really?
Man.
Like that?
Oh. If you don't see it, you can't stop it, right? The Lightning take a 2-1 lead,
oh, yeah.
And then as time expires, what is happening
my
here,
type of game.
Pat?
Yeah, there you go. Left, right. Left,
send,
no, ref,
send
move.
A message, right?
Move, ref, move.
Yeah, a little send a message there, but, you know.
Oh, look at this guy. That's so sad. The Rangers fan can't believe it. Lightning win 3-1. They take a 3-2 series lead, and now they go back to Tampa where they can wrap it up on Saturday. How about Palat? He's unbelievable. Scored the game winner in game 3 at the 19-18 mark of the third, making him the first player to score multiple game winning goals in the last 2 minutes of regulation in a single season. He has done it in 2 of the last 3 games, just coming up so clutch. To the NBA we go, where the biggest story entering game 4 is the health of Steph Curry. Al Horford rolling on Curry's leg as the two dove for a loose ball in the fourth quarter of game 3. Steph providing this update on his status for tonight.
I'm going to play. That's all I know right now. Get as much recovery and healing as possible. Understand how important game 4 is, and excited about the opportunity. Because I went through what I went through at the end of the regular season and coming back, I know exactly what it is and what I got to deal with. And there's, I guess, comfort knowing I've been through it before, but also you'd rather not have to deal with something like that.
All right, Pat Bev is here. Han, Monica McNutt is on the scene there in Boston. But Pat Bev, you weren't here last hour for this discussion, So I want to start with you.
Yes, ma'am.
Can the Warriors win with a hobbled Steph Curry tonight?
Yeah, I think if Steph Curry's on the court, they give themselves a chance to win any game. I think just the gravitation he pulls from not only defensive players but at defensive teams also. It's everyone's looking at Steph. So I'm happy he's playing. The game needs him to play. The Warriors need him to play. If they don't, they're in a world of hurt. So obviously he said he's done dealt with this before. So I guess it's just a management standpoint from this end.
So as long as he's on the court, they're good, even if he's not 100%.
If he's not 100%, I feel like they're good.
All right.
Numbers say so. The numbers say when he's on the floor, they're a better team. In fact, never mind what he does offensively. How about for his teammates? I mentioned this earlier. In the NBA Finals, when his teammates have attempted 125 shots, when he's on the floor shooting 46% and 80% are contested. When he's off the floor, they shoot 39% and 89% of those shots are contested. So he draws defense, he draws attention, he gives you more space to work. and the result is better shooting.
All right, Monica, what's the word? You're right there in Boston after practice, just after seeing him. It's a very, very short turnaround, only one day off. But what's the word on his health?
Well, he's going to play like we heard in that sound there. I asked Steve Kerr about the short turnaround, Hannah, and he said it's just like a regular season game, so he wasn't overly concerned there. I'm sure that the training staff has done everything they can to have Steph be ready. If he's hobbled, though, guys, I know those numbers are great, but if he actually is hobbled, to me it is a point of concern, and not just offensively, it's a little bit more defensively because the Celtics are going to continue to come at him. So it seems, having watched him a little bit move around, it's not going to be an issue. But if he's less than 100%, this is a very, very physical series, and I think that could take a toll on the Warriors.
I got a question. Monica, you were a basketball player. I wouldn't say back in the day, so I'll just say you were a basketball player in the past. If you know as basketball players, if you get hurt, I don't know, a pulled muscle, you're thinking about that injury a lot, which takes your mind off basketball, which allows you to actually play the game a little bit much better. So I, you know, for viewers who don't understand.
You're a little bit looser.
Yeah.
Than actually,
Don't be surprised if he have one of the best shooting games of the series. You know, that's usually what happens when players get injured.
So Pat, I'm kind of with you, right? I think to me, and again, I don't really buy that it's going to be an issue, but I'm actually concerned a little bit more about the defensive end if it's an issue. We know Steph can get his shot off with ease, right? Like, he doesn't need a ton of time. He doesn't need a ton of space. But to me, the other side of the ball is the part that concerns me because there's so much movement and shifting there. And if he were to become a liability because of injury, like, I just think that's an easy click for the Celtics to go after. And in a series where we've already seen sort of swings in terms of the defensive team that shows up from both teams.
Well, they really were testing him defensively in game three.
I think they're going to do that regardless.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think that changes Steph is 100%, 92% or whatever percent. They're going to attack him. They're going to attack Klay. They're going to attack Draymond. They're going to attack everyone
from beginning
to end.
And they have tried to get him in the post. We saw in game three a lot of times Marcus Smart was getting him in the post, and they were trying to get one-on-ones on him, beat him up a little bit. But I love that perspective because that is something that a lot of regular people don't see, that you think a player's injured. Oh, he's not going to be as good, but actually it almost makes you lock in a little more when you're injured because you got to focus a little more. Yeah. He might end up having a great game. That's a tremendous.
I mean, we've seen it throughout sports, right? Like these heroic games where someone is hurt and then they come through.
Yeah.
And we don't know how badly he's hurt, but also he needs help.
Yeah.
Let's face it. So hurt or not, who has to step up tonight to help him? Pat Bet.
Everybody. Everybody.
I feel like name names.
I have to feel like Draymond has to be the best version of him, the calm version of him. I think Klay has to shoot the ball at a high clip to put a lot of pressure on the Boston Celtics and to take pressure off Steph. I think Jordan Poole has to step up and play very well, just not play well at home. That's easy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to win a championship, so you got to get out your body a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they got doubled up in the paint, Monica. They got doubled up on second chance points as well.
Yeah, and I loved the line from Steve Kerr, who I won't say that he played down offensively what's happening, but he basically said it starts on the defensive end for us. And he said we have to have the right sense of force and urgency, and then you earn the right for the basketball to go in. And I think that's true. When they strapped up in game two, we saw the ball go in at a high clip.
Yeah. Well, Draymond Green, to me, has to go into this game feeling like I've got to have the best game maybe of my playoff career.
Oh.
He has to have an impactful game that is not impactful as far as a lot of the things that we've been talking about the last couple of days, but more on the effort and energy that, as again, what Patrick Beverley is this for his team. The harder he works, the harder everybody else works. The more intense he is, the more intense everybody else is. I think Draymond has got to get back to that game and be a difference maker for his team.
All right, even more than an X factor, but a very critical piece. Guys, we're going to talk more about Draymond coming up. But first, Tom Brady. He returned to Bucks minicamp this week ahead of his 23rd season this fall. And he was asked about, some talk of him joining the Miami Dolphins this season. And Brady did not deny any of those rumors that were floating about. Take a listen.
I had a lot of conversations with a lot of people, as I've had for the last 3 or 4 years in my career, about, different opportunities when I'm done playing with football. So, I kind of made a decision of what I'd like to do. I'll get to be in the game of football. And I think for me, the most important thing is where I'm at now. None of us are promised much beyond what we have now. And this is the current moment. And I'm really excited about going out there to try to compete and win a championship.
All right, so Jeremy Fowler is with us. Ninko is with us. Bart is back, given the look there. Quickly, what's your reaction to what you just heard from TB?
Well, I think this is going to be his last year. I mean, I think the writing's on the wall. He already retired once. I don't think Giselle's going to allow him to do it twice. You know, give him one last run. And you look at where he's at. And remember what Tom Brady said originally, a long time ago in his Patriot days. He wanted to play to 45. We laughed and scoffed at it, right? But he's 44 years old. Next August, he'll be 45. I think mission complete. He's a guy that when he says something, he kind of lives up to it. I expect him next year to be in the booths, you know, continue to try and sell his underwear line and send Ninko a whole package.
There you go. And he's going to make a whole lot of money waiting for him when he decides to go into broadcasting. But, Jeremy, what are you hearing about this Dolphins chatter? Is this real or not?
Well, I'm hearing that there's certainly that this is going to remain on the table as a possibility. I'm with Bart that he's likely to move on to the Fox booth. He's got that contract. That's part of what all this offseason was about, to set that up so he can segue sooner than later. But it was sort of the worst kept secret league-wide that there was some mutual interest there between the Dolphins and Tom Brady. And the Dolphins have done exactly what the Bucs did 2 years ago. They built a winner. They loaded up on talent on both sides of the ball and said, hey, we're going to build it. Now we're going to quarterback in 2023. Tom Brady structured his situation in Tampa where he is a free agent next year. He didn't extend his contract. He simply restructured it. So this is going to loom large here unless he definitively says, I'm going to the TV booth.
All right, Ninko, you know him as well as anybody. Do you see a scenario where Tom Brady could actually be a Miami Dolphin next season?
I have $375 million dollars in my mind telling me that maybe he'll move on into the booth. That's like the amount that is sitting there for him to not get beat up, to not have to, you know, take the all the stuff that he does to get himself ready to go, the hours with Alex and the TB12 getting lengthened and all that stuff. Like, he can just move on, win a Super Bowl if that's what he thinks he's going to do. And then go in the booth and go do that for as long as you want, and you're not beat up. So I personally think, you know, he had some unfinished business. He had the opportunity there. So then he goes, he signs back. He's got 1 year, and then he goes into the booth.
All right, but you guys have done that. You know as well as anybody that sitting here and wearing a microphone doesn't compare to the feeling that you get playing football, and you know how much Tom Brady absolutely loves and lives for football. So I mean, is there a scenario where he also loves challenges and decides to take on a new one?
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't play anymore. That's the reason why we decided to put the microphone on. He's still playing at a high level, and the game has become easier for quarterbacks with not having to take the physical pounding within in the pocket. Yeah. But I think at some point, I think he really wants to leave a winner. He wants that storybook ending. He had it 2 years ago, but he got greedy. He wanted to give Tampa more. And I think it really left a sour taste in his mouth, him losing in that fashion, Cooper Kupp, that last-minute big play. I think he wants to try and ride off into the sunset and then transition into – listen, he's already the greatest of all time, but I think he's going to transition to the booth after that, and I think he's terrified, though, of that child pickup line.
Yeah, that could be a long pickup line. Ninko, final word on your pal.
Well, look, I mean, he's proven everybody wrong. You know, he's played beyond everyone's expectations. He's won multiple Super Bowls. He's got everything he could ever want. So, you know, last year, I thought it was going to be his last year. I thought he was going to retire. He did for 40 days, and then he comes back. So I'm assuming that this is his last hurrah, right off into the sunset, try and get a Super Bowl, last one, and then go be a commentator. So I think it's his last year. And I'm rooting for him.
Oh, man. And then if he doesn't win, oh, who knows? Who knows? That's a discussion for another day. Coming up, though, did you see what Devontae Adams actually admitted about the Packers? Did Aaron Rodgers' hesitation about coming back cost him his best chance of winning another Super Bowl? We discuss on Get Up. And also, he missed an entire season with injury. Is Zion a max player? Wait till you hear what the GM of the Pelicans had to say about it. You will. Coming up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Look at the squad we put together today.
In a world filled with dumb stuff, this could possibly be the dumbest.
J.J. Redick is knocking down threes.
Ain't nobody scared of you.
Stop it.
I'm not scared of you either.
Stop it.
It's awkward.
Rob Ninkovich is just knocking down people anywhere he can find them.
I don't know how you put your head on a pillow at night.
Somebody's got to figure out a way to muck things up.
Ooh,
I'll muck everything up.
By no means should anyone be trying this at home.
Look how much bigger Damian's hands are than mine. Let's compare to mine.
Don't sleep on the comedic abilities of Jeff Darlington.
Greeny, I'm speechless.
Let's not make D. Wood mad. Did you see the size of his hands?
Greeny, we were doing so well this morning, man. You had to come at me with all this type of nonsense.
Wherever it is Gronk is right now, Rob Ninkovich can channel him.
Yo, Tom, what's up? Yo, baby, what's up? Okay, I'll see you at the end of training camp. Have fun sweating.
I mean, it is well done.
That's impressive.
There's double T's. I'm calling double T's. If it gets too ugly, you're both ejected before everything gets rolling.
Love it. Great week here on Get Up. Finishing up here on a Friday. One of the biggest moves this offseason. Packers trading Davante Adams to Vegas after being unable to reach a long-term deal yesterday. Adams confirmed he took less money to go to the Raiders, and he detailed the reason behind his departure from Green Bay. Take a listen.
Where I'm in my career, and this isn't a shot at anybody, any other quarterbacks are, you know, in Green Bay. You know, I love Jordan Love, especially. He's a great guy, but, you know, I got aspirations of doing really, really big things and being remembered. And I just, you know, it wasn't really a point in my career that I was willing to sacrifice, Aaron not being there, you know, after a year or two.
All right, Bart here, and Ninko and Fowler are back. When you start something off and say, I'm not taking a shot at anybody, Bart, what did you hear there?
Listen, that was a direct shot at Jordan Love. And he's saying, listen, I'd rather go over here and take less money and be with Derek Carr and be able to have 4 years of prosperity and be able to accomplish all the things I want to have 1 year with Aaron Rodgers and be stuck with this bum. Like, this is just the reality of it is, like, you understand that there's levels to this. Like, this is different. You heard nobody leave Kansas City once Alex Smith got traded because they knew what they had waiting for him. Listen, this is uncertainty right here. And Aaron Rodgers played, listen, I can't have you dictate to me the terms of engagement every year you in a teepee somewhere trying to figure out if you're going to play the next year. So listen, I decided to take my own shot and say take control of my own future. And I decided to go roll with my best friend out in Vegas because I know for a fact that he's going to be there. And the first thing that the Raiders did was extend Derek Carr after he was the reason that Davante Adams came.
Wow, there's a lot of there. Yeah. What you just said. I mean, Nico, did Aaron Rodgers' uncertainty on his future actually hurt his team and potentially cost them a shot at another Super Bowl?
Yeah, well, I think it was the back and forth of the unknowns and him wanting to do the Jeopardy and then saying, I don't know, it's a beautiful mystery, and then having all the and then even recently saying, you know, he doesn't – at the golf outing, that he didn't know how much longer he had. So, I mean, I think that definitely plays a part in Adam sticking around. But, you know, again, like, if he was searching for a Super Bowl, you know, you go to the Vegas Raiders in the toughest division in football – in the harder, the AFC is a lot harder than the NFC. So I think, you know, again, Aaron Rodgers had a lot to do with that moving part and Adam saying, okay, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But again, it's tough for me to look and then you see Aaron Rodgers and then you look at other veteran quarterbacks. For example, you know, Tom Brady, everywhere he goes, all the receivers in the league want to go play with Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay for a long time now, and he's got one of the best receivers to play, and he wants to leave Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about it. And, him moving on to the Raiders, going to be with his buddy, he's going to be great. But what if they don't win? What if they don't win in Vegas? Like, what in a really hard division.
What have they won with Aaron Rodgers? They got sent home by Jimmy G twice.
Yeah.
So it's no guarantee that he stays with him. And everybody talks about this, you know, crazy AFC West. You got to face him anyway. If you're in the AFC, you got to face him anyway. You might as well go through him and learn how to beat him by being able to play him. You can't run from him. Like, nobody's afraid of Patrick Mahomes. Nobody's afraid of Russell Wilson. Like, the Raiders have put together a tremendous, you know, roster.
And by the way, I mean, Jeremy Fowler, just to put some perspective on this, how much did Aaron Rodgers and his indecision actually have to do with Devontae Adams leaving?
Well, it all played into it, but also on the contract front, that was an issue because I'm told that even though the Packers offered him big money around March, close to free agency before the trade, they were not that high before, back in the summer when they were starting contract negotiations. It didn't go well. And so Devontae said, well, then I'm just going to bounce. Like, if this is going to be how it is, I'll play through the season, knowing that he had the Raiders situation potentially in his back pocket. And Aaron Rodgers and Adams, yeah, I'm told they've had a good working relationship, but I don't know if he's as close with Rodgers as he is with Derek Carr, his college buddy, a guy who's 31 years old in his prime, you know, considered not as good as Rodgers, but certainly a top 10 to 12 quarterback right now. So, you know, he considered there were more pros and cons moving on, and that was probably 6-7 months ago when he decided that.
Yeah, he says he wants to win a Super Bowl. He wants to make history. But how about the Packers minus Devontae Adams? How much does that real quickly hurt their Super Bowl aspirations?
They'll win the division because the division is bad. But they'll fall short like they have in the last couple of years. This isn't a better football team. You're dependent on Sammy Watkins to stay healthy. He hasn't stayed healthy his entire career. And listen, the sand has run out of hourglass for Aaron Rodgers. So if they don't win this year, then they're going to be in rebuild mode with a cheap quarterback trying to build a roster around them. They have a tremendous roster around them. It's just not a Super Bowl caliber roster without Devontae Adams. You need an elite number one receiver that can dictate the coverages of the defense so that the lesser players can get favorable matchups.
I don't know. If I was Aaron Rodgers, I would have had all of this in place. I'm like, I'm coming back, but I want Devontae back. We're going to talk. We're going to line all this up. But last word, Ninko.
The Green Bay Packers are not going to be in better shape because they don't have Devontae Adams. Like, listen, everyone that's saying, well, the ball will be spread around more. What are you talking about? Yeah, with lesser talent. You needed Adams in go-to situations, big games, playoffs, which they need, big playoff moments. They don't have that guy. So
yeah, you're talking about one of the great quarterback-receiver duos ever. I mean, they were fantastic together. It is no more. It's over. And coming up, he's missed way more games than he's actually played. So is Zion Williamson worth a max contract? Wait until you hear what the general manager of the Pelicans had to say about it. We'll discuss next, but first, a little sneaky. Can we see that attempt again? All right, there we go. That, now you got it. Now answer this. Which active player ranks second in career NBA Finals games after LeBron James? Sneaky Hambo time when we come back on Get Up. All right, Pat Bev, get to it.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, Sneaky Humbo time. All right, Pat Bev, you're on the hot seat. Which active player ranks second in career NBA Finals games after LeBron James?
Udonis Haslam.
Oh, you know, that was a bold and not obvious guess and very wrong. Very, very wrong. All right, so he is on.
I said it the first time. I said it the first time. That's the first person I said.
Wait, you guys, I listened to you.
That's what happened. I listened to you.
When you guys were standing. Come on.
I said it.
No, it's on the record. He got it.
I said it.
No. That's
on the record.
I said it.
No.
Oh, my God. I was throwing names out. You nailed it.
You have to say it on television, please. I mean, clarify.
You heard me, though.
Yeah, but
you got to go with your right. You got to go with your first rhyme, man.
You know, let him talk.
You know what, viewers? If you guys are looking at this, always go with your gut feeling. First line. It's very important. Learn something
go
new.
Go with your gut. Wow. All right.
And never listen to the Reaper.
No.
Never listen to the Reaper.
All right, let's play a little over-under. Looking ahead to game four. That was good. All right, Pat Ben, you're right back. Over-under, 28.5 points for Steph Curry tonight.
Over. I feel like, he's he's been getting treatment on that foot or whatever that ankle is. Mind's been off the game. He told everyone he slept 10 hours yesterday, so for sure he's real rested, so over.
I love it. All right, Steph, despite the foot injury, going over 28.5. That's not good news for the Celtics. All right, Alan, 26.5 points over under for Tatum.
Under. He hasn't shot the ball well in this series. They've defended him fairly well, and he has been really more of a facilitator in this series as well. So I'm going to say scoring is still going to stay down.
All right, yeah, he has struggled scoring. Jaylen Brown's been a real catalyst for this team. Jason Tatum, you're going under. All right, Bart, you ready?
I'm ready.
Over, under, 0.5 technical fouls for Draymond Green.
Is it almost like he puts it there? I'm going over. I think he's going to be who he always is, and I think he's going to try and toe the line. Listen, it's his job to get underneath the skin of these guys and play with extreme emotion. And when you play with that much emotion, sometimes you step over the line. I think you got to get some get back for the young dude. You can't be letting these young whippersnappers. Listen, you got to understand, they're new to this. He's true to this. He got to get up under that skin and represent. He's definitely going to get a technical foul. Let him know.
All right. Elsewhere in the NBA, the pal Zion Williamson is eligible to sign a 5-year, $181 million max extension this summer. He missed all of the 21-22 season with a right foot fracture. And the pal's VP of basketball operations, David Griffin, was asked on the Ryan Russillo podcast if he believes Zion is a max player. And he said this, it's not a big decision, it's a pretty easy decision. The kid's historically good when he plays. This is a max player. That's easy. Gentlemen, do you agree? Pat Bev, starting with
you. Can I go last?
No, you cannot go last. This is back on the hot seat again.
Oh, my God.
Late today. We're putting you on
the
hot seat. Here you go.
Yeah.
I know it's hard to talk about money when you're talking about another player who's currently playing NBA.
He didn't play.
But go ahead and do so, please.
Currently playing, he didn't play. But
yes,
yeah,
there you go.
I'm with all my players. Get all
how do you
of
see it?
So, yeah, pay him. Pay him more.
Even though he hasn't played.
It's okay. Historically, would they say historically he's been good when he's out there? So I'm going to read what they said.
Wow, that's a really big, really, really great definitive answer here.
Union member, that's what
I know, but you know what? You're never going to tell another player that he shouldn't get his back, right? I understand that. Bart.
Yeah. I think he is, but with stipulations, right? And you talk about Benson, also the owner of the Saints. He's not going to be a fully guaranteed max player. I think he's going to have something similar to Joel Embiid. It's going to have to be some games. I need you to give me some guarantees that, hey, if you can't stay healthy, that we're not stuck on the hook for all this guaranteed money. So I'll give you the max money, but it's going to be with some wrinkles in there, some skill deprivation, in there, and availability and games played, because that's what he hasn't done. When he plays, but it's not often.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that you, as a player yourself,
I told him to give him his money,
that you would say that's what you would do. Anybody in the front office would want
a stipulation.
And Griff said this in the interview, is that he said that you got to have some protections in there. But if I'm Zion Williamson's agent, no. I want it all. Full guarantee.
Cool.
I am not going to. No, well, I'm not playing because I know I've got injury history. I also know how you're going to, what we see in the NBA, how we're going to handle you where, well, you got to rest tonight. You can't play here. So now I'm not going to hit my games played quotas because of how you're going to control me. No way. You know how good I am.
President's
I was young. I had a couple of foot injuries. Kevin Durant had foot injuries early in his career. How's it working out for him right now?
Yeah.
So to me, I'm not touching that contract. I'm not signing that contract. If there are stipulations in there that say I have have to play a certain amount of games, or if I'm injured, I get less money. I want every dime of that 181,
President,
and I want it right up front. And if you're not going to give it to me, I know somebody else will, and I'm going to take it to free agency.
The president has already been set, right? When you think about Joel Embiid, he's a better player than Zion Williamson. He signed that contract because of his early injury.
Zion Williamson was the number one pick in the draft,
but he's no Joel Embiid.
Box office.
All right, I want to get Pat Bev in here. Like, what's your perspective?
This is a tough one. Obviously, when he plays well. He shoots a percentage in a paint that I think it's closer to Shaquille O'Neal, something crazy like that.
What about accepting?
Overall, he's 60%.
But what about accepting a contract with those kind of caveats?
Hell no, yep. I'm not doing
there
that.
There you go.
Hell no.
Joel Embiid did it.
Okay, that's Joel Embiid.
Yeah, right.
Actually,
exactly.
He was out 2 years
man,
and a half.
Zion got to stop eating the po' boys first.
No, let's not say that. Let's not say that. That's not fair to him.
You got to get them beignets up on.
But let's also say, you know, we don't know what type of body form he has, what type of body type he has, so we can't really speak on what he's eating or not. But I will say, no, I'm not. No stipulations, man. I'm. You know, this is my first max deal off my rookie contract. I'm not putting any stipulations in, because the day you put stipulations in, you will be a stipulated player for the rest of your career.
And by the way, they're saying that he deserves a max contract. Yeah. So, you know, we're just
not telling you the rest.
Yeah, that's right.
Hannah, he said it with an asterisk, though. He did.
All right, game four.
Shout out to Griff, too. Griff, my man. He came and got me overseas, so yeah.
There you go. I love that. Yeah. Yes.
Very smart.
All right. Solid. Nicely done, by the way. Good decisions. So we know he makes good decisions, right? Game four of the NBA Finals is tonight at 9 Eastern on ABC, ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio. Our coverage tips with Greeny and the NBA Countdown crew at 8:30. That's why I'm here filling in for Greeny. Now, Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Swoops, Rebecca Lobo, you know those greats from the sport of women's basketball. They're just three of the women who made up the women's national team back in 1996. That team that dominated the Olympic Games in Atlanta. 8 wins, no losses, gold medals around their necks. That is barely the start of the real story of the women's dream team. 30 for 30 Dream On is the journey of that 1996 team. It's a 3-part film which premieres next Wednesday. Here's a sneak peek.
The greatest women's team to ever be assembled.
The block by Lisa Leslie.
They've been called the women's dream team.
It was almost like overnight, the whole country had discovered women's basketball.
This is the part people never see.
I didn't do it for myself, but I did it to change the minds of other people.
We were servants for what the game has become today. So we've given them an opportunity to dream.
Yep, Dream On, directed by Christian Lapis, premieres on June 15th, 8 p.m. on ESPN. And I was lucky enough to be at the premiere last night, caught up with the great Rebecca Lobo. There we are on the red carpet, and she is joining us live today, our Title IX roundtable brought to you by Champion. Very pleased to chat with Rebecca Lobo. And it was such an insightful film, Rebecca. And one of the things that I didn't know, and I think a lot of people didn't, because they view you and your incredible career as this very charmed career from the outside, but just how difficult the run-up to those Olympics were for you. So share part of that story with our audience.
Well, this was a team that trained for 10 months. We barnstormed the country, played a bunch of college teams. We went all over the world and played international teams. We were away from our family for that entire time. And I think each woman had her own bit of a struggle. And for me, it was being the youngest player on the team. I was the one getting beat down in practice every day. I'm out on the floor with women who had been playing professionally overseas for a lot of years. And so there were a lot of growing pains for me that year, and there were a lot of struggles for me. And I think each player, and Kristen does a great job, Kristen Lapis, the director of this film, did a great job kind of telling all of those stories and humanizing all these women. So while a lot of people watched us playing on the court and saw us win the gold medal, there was a lot that was going on in each woman's life throughout the course of that year. And Kristen really captured that and helped tell the story on the court, but also off the court.
And in particular, they talked about how tough Tara Vanderveer, the head coach, was on you. You were the collegiate player. You know, you weren't the experienced one. She even went so far as to publicly say, maybe we don't need Rebecca Lobo on this team. And then what happened? Because the team got together. Share with us what happened that really galvanized the team after that point.
Well, first, I want to start by saying that was a really tough year, and I had a hard time playing for Tara Vanderveer that year. Now, in the last 20 years, I have an incredible relationship with her. And as a 22-year-old, I couldn't have possibly understood the pressure she was under that year to make sure that we won the gold medal. But it wasn't even something that was said to us. It was something that we read in USA Today that a couple of the young players, and she named me and Nikki McCray in particular, might be removed from the team and others might be added. And our team had a kind of a players-only team meeting. I don't remember saying a thing in that meeting. And the veterans and older players said, no, this group has been together. We've been dealing with our blood, sweat, and tears every day in practice. This team is not going to change. And if they try to take anybody off of the team, whether it was me or Nikki or whoever, that was going to be it. And it was really a moment where the team came together, galvanized, said, you know, 1 through 11, this is who we are. Because it's important to note that year that we were training, we were the national team. They never called us the Olympic team. It was something that they kind of hung over our heads the entire year. You haven't made the Olympic team. This is just the national team. And it was a moment where the women said, listen, we have a voice here and we're going to come together. And these 11 women are going to be on the team.
And if you could put the legacy of that team in perspective for us, not only getting the U.S. back to gold medal status, not only being that women's dream team following the men's dream team in Barcelona, but also what that team did that enabled the WNBA to launch.
The team, obviously, it was put together because they wanted us to win a gold medal. They hadn't won a gold medal in the previous Olympics in 1992. But it was obvious after the fact that we were also kind of a test balloon for the NBA. When we were going across the country playing games, they were selling jerseys, they were selling posters, they were selling tickets. Can women's basketball be a viable economic entity in this country? And I think the way we galvanized the fans, the interest that we had from sponsors, from TV networks, it showed the NBA that, yes, women's basketball is at a point right now where it can be a professional league in this country. And if it wasn't for the success of that team, I truly believe there wouldn't have been a launch of the WNBA the following year.
Yeah, and that beautiful basketball behind you, that WNBA basketball, wouldn't even have existed if not for what you and your teammates did back in the day. Rebecca Lobo, thank you, as always. We really appreciate it. Can't wait for the rest of you to see this. Don't miss a premiere of our next 30 for 30. It's called Dream On, Wednesday night, 8 Eastern on ESPN, and it's also going to be streaming on the app. And coming up, the Celtics seem to be in the driver's seat, but are they really? Jalen Rose says absolutely not. He'll join us to explain why on Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back with Get Up, and we are getting up with Jalen Rose right now. We're going to play a little right or wrong. So, Jay, right or wrong, Draymond Green is the X factor for the Warriors tonight. Right or wrong? And he's pointing to his ear. He can't hear. Can you hear now? You got me now. All right, Draymond Green, X factor for the Warriors tonight. Right or wrong?
definitely correct, Hannah. Here's why. I know that Steph Curry, if and when he's healthy, he's going to get me around 30 points. I saw Klay Thompson have a big offensive game, even though they wasn't able to win the ball game. Draymond Green has to be the anchor X factor down low. All of his points, rebounds, and assists got to be more than a total of 10.
All right, Jaylen Brown, finals MVP so far, right or wrong?
Yes, he's been terrific defensively, but he's been a catalyst offensively, in particular in the first quarter last game. 17 big points to get the Celtics off to a great start, playing in front of their home fans. No matter who he's been guarded by, he's been awesome. So if we had to pick a finals MVP today, it would be Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, great in that fourth quarter, too, in game one. All right, right or wrong, an injured Steph Curry will lead the Warriors to a game four win tonight, right or wrong?
I believe that is right, Hannah. The only way we get to a seven-game series, in my opinion, is for the Warriors to win tonight. You know why? I actually believe whoever wins tonight's game is going to win the series. So, therefore, Steph Curry not only plays well, Steve Kerr said he could have left him in the game, but he took him out because they were getting waxed. I believe Steph Curry does lead the Golden State Warriors to victory tonight.
All right, we're going to bring Pat Bev in here for a little reaction. Do you see the Warriors winning tonight, Pat, with a hobbled Steph Curry?
I'm with Jaylen on that. They have to. If they don't, they're in a world of hurt. And like you say, if Boston is able to win this game, I think they win a series.
All right, so if the Warriors do win tonight, I mean, what is that going to look like, Jay?
I think, first off, if you're the Golden State Warriors, you got to keep the turnovers down. When the Golden State Warriors in particular had an amazing third quarter last game, the third quarter Warriors, then all of a sudden the fourth quarter Celtics took over and they've been plus 40 in that quarter. Why? Because the Golden State Warriors sometimes just throw the ball all over the gym. In particular, Steph Curry was a catalyst there as well. Keep the turnovers down, keep the Celtics out of transition, force them to play against your half-court defense. That gives you a better chance to win on the road.
Pat Bev, what if he's on 100% though?
I think as long as he's on the court, he gives them a chance to win a basketball game. But added to what Jaylen said, they've always turned the ball over. You know, they've like historically, they've always been a high turnover basketball club. But
so do the Celtics, by the way.
I honestly think it's more of like the other kind of standpoint, the more the Wiggins, the who comes off the bench, who makes the impact, who can defend it, who can rebound it. They rebounded well tonight. They can get out in transition. Rebounding was a big problem for them last game. So, you know, the best version of Golden State is them playing in transition, and that comes with getting a rebound first. So.
Yeah, I mean, they got doubled up points in the paint. They got doubled up in terms of second chance points, Jaylen. So what's the solution there tonight?
The Golden State Warriors drafted Wiseman for a reason, and unfortunately, he's unable to play. They needed his height, and they needed more bulk up front. In the last game, Hannah, as you just alluded to, points in the paint, second chance points, those effort plays, a lot of it had to do with the height, the bulk, and the activity of Robert Williams III, of Al Horford, and Grant Williams. That gave the Golden State Warriors huge problems. And on the play where Steph got hurt, and Pat Bev knows this, if you really watch that play, they had three guys
on the floor.
On the Boston Celtics hit the floor first.
Yep.
Three guys hit the floor first. And the guys that hit the floor first, A, are the aggressor, B, normally win the game, and C, that's when another guy gets injured. Yeah. So it's very important for the Golden State Warriors to be that team that hits the floor first.
All right, real quick, you're lauding the Celtics right now. Got to go to what Big Perk had to say about his pick.
Yeah, they done. Look, I told people before the series that the Celtics were going to win this in seven. But after watching them last night and watching their intensity, their defensive prowess, again, I'm going to repeat, offense win games, defense win championships.
All right, you know, just because he's got the Harvard shirt on doesn't mean that we all have to agree with him. Doesn't mean that Big Perk knows all. How do you see this going tonight, and how do you see the series going? He says Warriors are done.
Well, from a fan standpoint, being a person who loves basketball, I hope it goes seven. I mean, this has been very entertaining. You know, this is one of the series that we've been looking forward to, obviously.
Agreed.
You know, from the West, we wish Minnesota Timberwolves were in it, but we came up short. But from a player standpoint, Golden State in trouble. They in trouble. Like if they can't if they can't defend it and they can't rebound it at a high level, I mean, and Boston is attacking everyone. It's not like they're just attacking Steph Curry. They're attacking everyone. So if Golden State can't rebound it well enough, they're in trouble tonight.
So James Wiseman, you mentioned he's obviously not walking back on the court. They are who they are. We know the Celtics are long, they're tall, they're aggressive, and all of that. And yet, what do you say, Jalen?
I feel like the Boston Celtics took a split in the return to Boston, and now it's the Golden State Warriors' turn to respond. This happens after every game in the playoffs. When a team loses game one, you think they're done, and then they come back and play really well in game two. I believe that the Golden State Warriors respond. The Splash Brothers play really well. Wiggins got going a little bit offensively. He had a couple of uncontested drives and dunks. I believe Jordan Poole plays well. But also, again, Draymond Green and Steph Curry were both in foul trouble the entire game. Draymond Green fouled out of the game. He's a catalyst offensively. I think while he's on the floor, he helps everything go. I think the Golden State Warriors find a way to get this game tonight.
Okay, so they get this game tonight. Who gets this game tonight?
I'll pick Golden State for the series. They have to. I mean, you can't go down 3-1 against this team. I mean, they literally have to win tonight. Today is a must win. So
they do.
I'm with Jalen the whole way.
Must win in game four. Jay, who wins the series?
I'm still taking the Golden State Warriors in seven. I'm going to own my pick, and I'm not going to jump off the bandwagon. And Pat Bev is exactly right. We all know what happens if the Warriors lose tonight. It's over.
All right, and our show is over, too. How about that?
Hey, I like that hat, though, Jalen.
Pat Bev, Jay's looking sweet.
Family.
He always brings the swag, doesn't he? First Take coming up next. How confident should we be in that bounce-back game from Draymond Green? What's the biggest adjustment the Warriors need to make tonight? First Take, Molly, Stephen A., Jay Will, Pat Bev next. Still working.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
The Eastern Conference Final heads back to Tampa for Game 6 tomorrow night. The Lightning with a chance to clinch a spot in the Stanley Cup Final for a third straight year. Our coverage begins at 8 Eastern right here on ESPN and ESPN Plus. I'm Hannah Storm in for Greeny. Thanks for joining us on this Friday. And the festivities continue right here. First Take is next as Stephen A., Molly, and the gang get you all set for Game 4 tonight.